Well, thank you for your presence tonight, and let me begin by possibly making an explanation like this. It was not my intention this morning in the questions that I asked to indicate that I was going to say anything sensational. Usually preachers that have sensational titles disappoint their audience finally, and I hope that will not be the case this evening. I did receive a request from one of the members of the church to preach concerning this particular subject tonight. It is a Bible subject, and therefore, as is true, all Bible subjects ought to be of significant interest to us, where we want to know more about God's Word, what it says. What shall we call the lesson tonight? Well, it is true, as indicated by our questions this morning, we could ask a question: how should ladies dress in order to attract men? But probably a little better question would be to ask not only women, but men, all of us, how should we dress in order to please God? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 8, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. I think it is evident as you survey this paragraph that you will see that there are instructions that are given for both men and women. As the instructions are found and applying especially to how one would dress, and I take it that while Paul may indeed have in mind the public assembly in view of verse 8, but it certainly would go beyond that. How should we dress? I was talking with one of my children, and they said they were at the mall the other day, and there was a fellow there who apparently thought he was Tarzan. He didn't have a shirt on, but he had bulging muscles. Now, why do you suppose a fellow would go to the mall, bulging muscles and all, without a shirt? Well, there's no doubt he wanted to say, look at me. Hey, girls, look at me. Look at my muscles. How we dress oftentimes has to do with the attitude of heart, with the attitude that we have. How do we try to attract people? That applies to every Christian. I think that there is a proper sense in which we have to say Christians should want to be attractive. That is, they want to attract people, but not to themselves. Not to physical beauty, not to physical shape, but having to do with the fact that we have this great message of salvation that we have inculcated into our lives, that we are striving to live. And that's what this scripture is about. So we read it again in verse 9. In like manner also, this has to do with holy living. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. That would cause us to say at the very outset of our lesson, women professing godliness will adorn themselves in modest apparel. What is modesty? What is modest dress? That really is our subject tonight that I have been asked to speak concerning. I find that this word modest or modesty is very possibly one of the most interesting words that an individual can consider. Of course, I know that there are some people that are going to say, well, there is no standard of modesty. How did people in Old Testament times dress? Well, I really do not have much of an idea how did they dress in the days of Jesus. Well, I see the pictures, I see the movies, I consider all of that, and of course I immediately am prone to say, well, fashions change. I don't think that we can even begin to study this subject of modesty unless we recognize that there is style of dress, and from country to country and from age to age, dress changes. But do you know what? If we are going to consider what our Lord states here in His Word, there is a standard of modesty. But what is modesty and what is modest dress? And how do you young ladies or older ladies, how do you go about determining what the standard is? I guess the only reason why I hesitate to talk about the subject is because I'm a man. But on the other hand, I do not hesitate to talk about the subject at all because, as we've already said, it is a Bible subject. It is a Bible subject. And incidentally, it does not have to do with likes or dislikes. And to a very good degree, it does not have to do with public opinion. Modesty. I'm told as I look in the Greek dictionaries that the Greek word that is used is kosmios. I'm spelling it in English now. K-O-M-I-O-S. Kosmios. Well, but that comes from a root word meaning the world. Kosmos. Now, cosmos are not only flowers that grow all over the world, but that word cosmos is used to describe the physical world. But it has a basic meaning, and the basic meaning is harmonious arrangement. Harmonious arrangement. It also means this very word that is used here. It means adornment. Now, we know what adornment is. It can be a brooch. It can be a necklace. Oh, any number of things are used as an adornment. And we notice here that the ladies are told that they are to adorn themselves in modest apparel. Without trying, then, to overwork the definition, if you look at 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, where it is talking about the qualifications for elders, this is the only second time in the New Testament where this word modest is used. And in this case, it is telling the elders that they are to be of good behavior. Of good behavior. So again, then, as we apply this to our dress, we're going to say modest dress is orderly, it is respectable. The word dignified comes into the definition in the dictionaries. Then the New American Standard uses the word discreetly. Do you know what it means to be discreet? Well, that means to be wise, doesn't it? Whenever you dress, in order to dress modestly, that means that you have to use a lot of reasoning. You have to be wise in how you are going to dress. W.E. Vine says that the word means to be well arranged, and that it means to be decent. Actually, W.E. Vine has quite nearly a half page, maybe not that, in definition of this word cosmios. Webster shortens it. He says it means propriety in dress. Okay. Modesty. What does that Greek word mean? Well, it is well arranged. It has to do with harmonious arrangement, with orderly, respectable, dignified, discreet, propriety in dress, all of those things. How do we go about studying the subject? Well, I think first of all, we need to recognize that there are some basic values. There are some basic truths that are set forth for us in Scripture that of necessity we have to consider in order to consider our subject. One of those basic considerations, one of those basic truths, is the fact that the knowledge of good and evil requires clothing. Did you know that? The knowledge of good and evil requires clothing. And all you've got to do is look back at Genesis chapter 3 in order to establish this basic truth. The man and the woman had their eyes opened as they ate of the tree of good and evil. They knew, the scripture says, that they were naked. They did not do a very adequate job of trying to cover themselves, though there was only husband and wife that were there. And so after they made that attempt to cover themselves in verse 7, then in Genesis 3 and verse 21, we are told that the Lord did a proper job of it and that He clothed them with skins. All right, so what have we learned? Do you know that the laws in Richmond and in Virginia recognize that nakedness in public is wrong? Every now and then you hear of a flasher, don't you? Here's somebody that runs around and for some crazy reason they want to show off their usually ugly bodies. And those people get arrested. They're Looney Tunes. There's something wrong with a person like that. And whenever you talk about, look at me, well, yes, people really do, and they're shocked, and they report them to the police. What is that telling you? What is that telling you about your manner of dress? What does it tell you about the dresses that you wear and the clothing that you wear, whatever the occasion may be? Well, here is a basic truth, that public nakedness is sinful. It's wrong. And the world recognizes that, no matter how worldly those individuals may be. Well, there is a second consideration that we have already talked about, and that is that there is both modest dress and there is immodest dress. Now, we may as well face that as being the case. If the scripture admonishes those who are professing godliness to adorn themselves in modest dress, then the very opposite is true, and that is that you can dress immodestly. That's the second consideration. A third consideration, and I don't know how important this is, except every now and then, and I faced this with my daughters when they were growing up, and that is being in style does not necessarily make something modest. Doesn't make it wrong, but it doesn't make it right. And when my daughters would bring home a dress and Dad would say, "You've got to take it back." They'd say, "But Dad, that's what all the girls are wearing." Well, I'm sorry. Oh, I was a terror. But they had to take it back. Because, though it was in style, it was not modest. There is a fourth consideration, and when we mention this, we're getting right at the heart of the matter that every young lady, older lady, but every man needs to consider. Enticement to lust is sinful and wrong. If you are dressing in such a way so that you will entice somebody, oh, do we do that? Hey, you pick up any women's fashion magazine that you want, or any of the popular magazines month by month, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Well, what do we have? Well, what we have in Matthew 5 and verse 28, it is talking to the men. And it says, "Whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery in his heart." All right. Well, that's on the man's part. That's on the man's part. How are we to look at women? Well, we are to never look at them to lust after them. Because as surely as we do that, then we are told that we have committed adultery in the heart. But now then, here is the other side of that. Suppose you are dressing so that you can cause somebody to lust after you. Well, Matthew 18 deals with that, but it is a broader subject. And in verse 6, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Why, if I knowingly do something, if I dress in such a way so that when an individual looks at me, they commit adultery in their heart, why, I've caused that individual to sin, a terrible sin. And it would be better, our Lord just states it, it'd be better for that individual to have a millstone hung around their neck and drowned in the sea. Okay, so knowledge of good and evil demands that we be dressed properly. There is such a thing as modest and immodest dress. Being in style does not ensure modesty, and enticement to lust is sinful. We have to consider those four things. Maybe there are other things, but I think that is just getting right at it. Okay, now someone says, "Come on, Gene, come up to the mark. I want you to give us some rules of modesty." And really, girls, talk to your mama. All right, modest dress. We've given the definition for it. Apparel that properly clothes a person. Apparel that properly clothes a person. Appropriate dress. Decent. And I've added a word here that may surprise you. Dress that is decent and attractive. decent and attractive. Pretty. Did you know that modest dress is not equivalent to ugly? Did you know that? This isn't saying dress in flour sacks. This isn't say you pick out the ugliest thing on the rack that you're going to trip over whenever you wear. That's not what it's saying. Religious groups oftentimes try to set rules of modesty, and they tell women what they've got to have on their head, and they tell women what color the clothes are to be, usually the drabbest color that can be found. No. Do you know that you can attract people to yourself just like that ape man that I mentioned in the beginning by the wrong, inappropriate dress? It is true, men, that the Bible does not tell you that you have to wear a tie whenever you wait on the Lord's table. I think it's a pretty good idea myself. About 30 years ago, I was attending in a congregation, and a fella I know that had good money always came to worship in a pair of jeans, usually old ones. And he said, "I don't want to attract people's attention." Do you know what he was doing every time he came to worship in those faded jeans? He was attracting attention. What's more, he demanded that he sit up on the front. I love people to sit on the front. I loved it when our young people used to sit up in front. But I tell you what, I wish that fellow would have just crept in and sat at the back. We don't have any rules of dress for how the men are to dress when they wait on the table. But I don't want a fella in a t-shirt that says Budweiser beer up here waiting on the table. That's inappropriate. That is immodest. Now, in the same way for the ladies, there's an appropriate way for you to dress whenever you come to worship. It is not the same kind of dress that you're going to wear if you are working out in the vegetable garden. But modest dress is dress that properly clothes a person, that is decent and attractive, not ugly. What is immodest dress? Well, apparently just the very opposite. Inappropriate. Revealing dress. Enticing dress. You see, that fits all of these standards that we have been talking about earlier. What is immodest dress? Too scanty, too thin, too open, too tight, too low, too high. I don't know if I've left out some twos, but I've got a lot of twos here. And that is spelled not T-W-O, it's spelled T-O-O. Too thin, too high, too low, too revealing, too thin, too scanty. That's immodest. That's immodest. I said that the definition had to do with discreetly, but really that doesn't take a lot of wisdom on your part. We're just now at the most important part of the sermon. Where does modesty start? Right now, everything we've said has to do with outward. You look at a dress and you say, "Oh, that's pretty." And so you go ahead and you wear that and you say, "Well, that's very modest. It's the right length and it covers my body appropriately and all of that." But really, There is a, well, shall I call it a secret? Well, it's a secret, I guess, as far as some people, but the Scripture reveals it. I want you to look at verse 10 right now, and then we're going to look at another passage. 1 Timothy 2 was the passage that we started off with. So, verse 10, after this admonition that we would adorn ourselves modestly. But which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. All right, now just hang on to those last three words right now. With good works. Now, look over at 1 Peter chapter 3. Because this is the passage I want you to take home with you. 1 Peter chapter 3. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands. Now we asked the question this morning, how do wives attract their husband? Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word. Here's a fellow you've married and he's not a Christian. They, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment... Now, he doesn't want you to think about this dress. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Where does modesty start? It starts in the heart. It starts in the heart. Before you ever put on that dress that's hanging in the clothes closet, you've got to have a meek and quiet spirit, which is incorruptible. That word incorruptible in this case means it's immortal. It's eternal. But it is precious in the sight of God. It's good to get advice. Don't take me wrong. I recommend to all young ladies that you let your mother help you. And sometimes vice versa. Sometimes mama can go to daughter and say, is my slip showing? Am I all right? Do I look good? Husbands are good advisors for their wives. But look in the mirror. But before you do any of that, before you ever ask anybody, look into your heart. That's where modesty starts. Why are you wearing what you are wearing today? Well, modesty of dress is reflected by modesty that is in the heart. What is to attract your husband? A meek and a quiet spirit. A meek and a quiet spirit. What is to attract that young man that you think you would like to spend a lifetime with? A meek and a quiet. Oh, but you say, that's not going to attract the fellow that I'm interested in. You know what? He's the wrong fellow. He's looking for something other than what you ought to be. Husbands that are disobedient to God. Maybe in this case, very possibly in this case, the wife heard the gospel and obeyed it. The husband did not. Maybe like Timothy's mother. But regardless, the thing that is going to win that stubborn heart over is for the wife to adorn herself. Not with braided hair, not with gold or jewelry, not by putting on fine apparel, but with a meek and a quiet spirit which is in the sight of God, of great price. Modesty. Attract others with your inward beauty. My nephew looked at my mother that was bent over with arthritis. And as a little fella, he came up to her and he said, "Grandma, you're sure ugly. But he said, you're sure good." Do you know that's goodness that all of us can have and that we should have? Goodness that originates not through physical appearance. Goodness that has to do not with the way you choose to dress, but goodness of the heart. Women professing godliness that adorn themselves with good works, that all began with a meek and a quiet spirit. Would you be subject to the gospel? We encourage you to confess your faith in Christ, to be baptized, to serve Him as you should.